Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host today, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion, commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Thursday, August 23rd, 2018. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. Missed you Tuesday.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I miss being here, but I'm having a good time with me and Marsha Jean and a couple of my little cousins down in Tennessee in Pigeon Forge. And we had a really busy 2 days. Put a lot of stuff in 2 days. The time I got home, I was pooped.
Ah.
Matter of fact, the girls taking a nap right now, so we really wore them out.
Well, something is wearing gold out right now. We have gold down, another big pressure on gold today, down $10 today at $11.85. You have silver down 26 cents at $14.57. Platinum was down 18 at $7.80, and palladium was down 10 at $923. The USDX today was only stronger by 0.53 at 95.63. Crude oil was down 2 cents today at 67.84, and the paper markets today, it's just all over the page a little bit. Let me go ahead and bring those up. Here they are. Let's see. The Dow was down 76 points. 25,657. The NASDAQ was down 10 at 7,878. The S&P was down 4, almost 5, at 2,856. 10-year yield, 2.82. Euro was down big, 0.38 at 115. European and Asia markets were quiet overnight, not a lot of change. We're still hooking in on the fear and greed index at about 59. So, but that's still in greed territory, but it's, you know, certainly not a strong number. I think there's a lot of uneasiness out there, and I guess the additional tariffs began today on China, and I do believe there was going to be a more China retaliation on that. So we'll have to see how that plays out. Obviously, it had an impact on the currencies today. Bonds, there was a ton of bond buying today. So therefore, the stronger dollar and weakness on gold. So people are seeking some sort of a safe haven with their bonds. But we all know that the bond market is in a bubble also. Everything is in a bubble but gold.
And so good figure, you know. I mean, you talk about China, and I was reading an article today. I'm trying to find very quickly here about, it said the shooting war with China could be more likely than you think. China, they said, is not holding the full, a stacked deck, so to speak, when it comes to the tariffs that we really are. And this could lead China into doing some things that we may be sorry for later. Many wars have started over tariffs, you know that.
Yes, they have.
You know, and I don't like to think about that, but that doesn't change the fact that it can happen. And China is not somebody, I don't care who you think you are, you don't want to pick a fight with China. Heck, even if they didn't have any weapons other than just men with guns, they outnumber us a little bit already. So, you know, but we'll say about several million. So I don't see much chance. You know, I don't know. But that's the article said that it looks like something could happen there with China and maybe a shooting war because of tariffs. I hope not. I pray not. But I don't know what to tell you on that because this time started World War II. It had a lot to do with World War I. So a lot of things are happening, Melody. They're playing right back into the game again. And we see the phone call today in the office. And I hope this is wrong, but I'm not. I can't say it is because I really don't know. Could Trump be leading us into World War III? Could that be part of the plan? But I'm not being conspiracy theorist. I'm asking questions here because I don't know what's going on here. People are getting upset with the leader, Chinese leader. What's his name?
Xi Jinping.
Okay. Because of what's happened with the tariffs, and people get upset. So, of course, that puts pressure on the government to do something. So I don't know. I like to think it's going to work for our benefit in the long run. But a shooting war with a nation of that size, no matter who wins, we all lose.
Well, I don't know where the, you know, certainly there's wars and rumors of wars, and certainly the Middle East is primed, is just primed. I mean, the amount of pressure that we're putting on Iran, I was reading about Iran today, and, you know, I'm not quite sure what they're going to do. And to me, I think this is where the pressure of war is going to come. Of course, we got Yemen going on, and I had an interview. Last night was my night with James Corbett, and you know we talk about Africa and what's going on in there. And again, I mean, it's setting up for additional interior wars, and you know we want to change the regimes on everyone and everywhere, and it's so I don't know how this is going to play out, but it's not going to play out friendly for those
well,
who
America's
hold paper
had,
dollars.
America's got her nose in too many nations' businesses, has for a long, long, long time. We become an empire now. That wasn't what our founders intended at all. We become an empire now, Melody, and that's any nation becomes an empire has a very, very disastrous end. You know that.
Yes.
And it does. America's no different. I don't know why we think we are, but we're no different. I don't care if you study history. Rome, Greece, many other nations went through the idea that they could conquer the world and bring it all under control of the one nation. And whether we call it that or not, we're doing the same thing. Changing somebody's leadership and regime is conquering a nation. That's all there is to it. To put in puppets, they're going to obey you. Isn't that what Caesar did?
I do believe so.
I believe so. So I don't know. But on the lighter side, I want to say that I think I'm going to move to California because I just found out in California that marijuana is 22.5% cheaper than it is here out here in the East Coast, Melody. And not only that, and you covered this before, I think you said, but I got to say it again anyway, that they have the poop patrol out there in San Francisco, and they pay those guys $185,000 a year. So we get marijuana cheaper and get paid big bucks for scooping poop. Now, why don't we all just move to California?
Maybe we should. Maybe we should. At least for a year. Hey, weed's cheap.
It's ridiculous.
Weed is cheap in California because it comes up over the border there, so it's easy access through the border there.
I mean, we're laughing about that, but you don't really. I mean, California is broke. Everything, and they're being invaded by foreigners. But you're gonna pay poop scoopers $185,000 a year? I mean, come on. How much does a senator make?
I really don't. Is it over 200 by now?
It's around 200,000, I'm thinking, yes. So we're talking about $15,000 difference between a senator and a poop scooper. I think I'd take the poop scoopers.
Maybe we should send the senators to do that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. They got plenty of poop scoop up here. They just don't do it. But anyway, unbelievable. Well, we're laughing about this, but it really is not funny. We should be crying. But it's insane. But in California, the people out there are so mind-controlled that the governor, that's getting ready to leave office soon, I think, they call him Moonbeam, of course, talking about the governor of California, has they just passed a bill, I'm trying to find it very quickly, That looks like in California they're going to pass a bill that children in restaurants cannot drink anything but milk or water. Now, how's that for Big Brother stepping the bounds? If they pass the bill, Bill number Senate Bill 1192 will make water and milk the default drink for kids' meals, and it pushes to reduce obesity and access to sugary drinks for children. Now, they're being overrun by illegals. They're bankrupt. People losing their homes. People leaving the state. They're trying to pass a law that your children can't drink anything but milk or water with a meal. Now, I'm not advocating for Coke. I'm not. It's a poisonous thing to drink. In the average can of Coke, I think it's like 13 teaspoons of sugar. So I'm not pushing for Coke. That's not the point. The point is that the nanny state's going to tell you that you must give your children milk or water. Now, is that a little bit over the bounds? Would you agree, Melody?
Well, I think so, but it kind of goes along with the no straws.
good point.
Kids can't have straws either. Who wants to be a kid in California? Grow up, you can earn $185,000 a year, but you have to poop scoop in order to get it. But anyway.
Yes. I mean, we're laughing. But again, that's insanity in this country. It's, and California's kind of leading the way in that. You can see that for sure.
Yes, certainly can.
But the people tolerate it. There's nobody saying much about it. You know, some people tried to sustain it and make three different states out of it, and that was knocked out by the California Supreme Court. Whether it's real or not makes no difference. It didn't fly. But the people in the state, are they not getting mad about this? Aren't they tired? Aren't they fed up with it? Or are they just going to go along with it because that's where they live?
They're just not paying any attention to it, that's all.
How do you
know, they're more involved in seeing Trump getting impeached and everything, and I'm not even sure they're even involved in that, you know. The media is, but, you know, I mean, they're running wild. I mean, the media is, everything is just so disgusting, but...
It's beyond disgusting. That's an easy word to say. It really is beyond disgusting because I'm seeing this thing unfold before our eyes. Insanity in Kansas. In Kansas now, they're going to make children in public schools use opposite bathrooms. They're not even going to mark them. Not even going to put up what they are, boy or girl. And they're just going to let them go in any bathroom they choose. That's in the schools in Kansas. I don't know which ones they are and which vicinity. I read it, but I've forgotten it. But so in Kansas, children will go to school, and they'll use any bathroom they want to. And their parents are going to send them there? Melody, I couldn't do this with my child. Could you?
No.
I couldn't do that. People say, well, they can't afford the homeschool. They can't afford. This is not about money. This is not about education. This is about control and perverting your child. This is getting guns out of the closet time. If they come for your children because you want to send them to a hellhole that lets boys go to in the bathroom with your little girl, if you're not willing to fight for that, you're not willing to fight for anything, just sit down and shut up and turn the radio off. Go do something else. I mean, if you want to fight for your children's safety.
They want to have gender-free bathrooms. They should have one bathroom with a lock on it, so one person goes in, uses it, and comes out. Another person goes in and uses it, but that's not what they're doing.
No, it is what they're doing.
It's not what they're doing. They're using these bathroom stalls where the bathrooms where they have, you know, four, five, six stalls, and you know, one used to be a girl's, one used to be a boy's, and now they're co-ed. That's wrong.
It is wrong. But you know, the judges are ruling these cases, well, if you don't like it, take your children out of the school. Hey, man. I don't care if you have to homeschool. I don't care how you do it. But get them out of the schools. Do not send your children there. But this is what's happening in America. In California, you can't give them anything but milk or water at a restaurant. And in Kansas, they got to go to school where the boys can go into the girls and watch the girls use the bathroom. That's so wonderful. Man, we live in a free country, a wonderful country, do we not?
Yes, how free is that?
Oh, anyway, not see, I'm letting steam off now. I didn't mean to take over the program, but I'm just letting steam off because this aggravates me. Now we found out, you know, the little girl missing in Iowa, you remember that, right? Molly Tibbetts?
Mm-hmm.
They found her body. She was killed by an undocumented immigrant, which in my words is an illegal alien. She was killed by an illegal alien. And I didn't hear that make a whole lot of news. Always a blurb. But no one's saying, well, see, they come across the border illegally. We let them stay, and they murder an innocent girl. So what are you supposed to do about it? Where's the outcry?
You know, the most disgusting comments that I've heard, I think it was Warren, Elizabeth Warren. And she was asked about this. And she was more concerned about ICE and immigration. I mean, she didn't even recognize that this poor girl's life was taken. She started talking about children being taken away from their mothers at the border. Well, this girl was taken away from her parents and her family forever.
In her home. In her own home. You're right in her hometown.
Plus, I just want to say this, too. You know, people like Elizabeth Warren, everyone else in the media, who talks about eliminating ICE and they're coming to get the illegal immigrants and so forth. How much impact does that have on someone like this person who murdered that girl because she was trying to get away from him? And maybe just with all this other noise about the illegal immigrants and everything else, pushed him over the edge.
I don't know.
Impact. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know.
I don't know. That's a good question.
So how much was it? 90%? Probably not. But did it have any impact with this heated debate coming from, you know, just, you know, here he is illegally. Now, you know, she's saying she's going to call the police. And now all of a sudden, you know, he is, you know, he can't have that happen. So, and I'm not sticking up for him. I don't want it to sound like I am. Believe me, I'm not.
But I just don't get it. I mean, the guy was here illegally. Why was he not already arrested?
The thing of it is, the farm, you know, people want to correct the problem with illegal immigration. Why don't we start doing the businesses, finding the businesses that...
Sure.
Don't bother finding out if they're legal or illegal. Maybe they should be held accountable. Maybe they need to start being looked at and penalized for not doing what they're supposed to do.
I totally agree that they should be fined out of business, actually, if they're going to do this kind of stuff. That's the bottom line. No. We're talking about somebody's life here. We're not talking about money. How much money would it take to buy this young girl's life back? See what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with your profits, buddy. It has to do with the young girl's life. Well, it's only one take. How many cases does it take? How many lives got to be lost before somebody says enough's enough?
And you know what? Everybody says, well, you know, nobody wants to pick cotton. Nobody wants to do this. Nobody wants to work in the fields. Well, you know what? Pay a wage so they will. And I have lots of farmers, and I understand. But I get it. Why aren't Americans doing those wages or doing those jobs?
Well, why should they? We're going to cover it, men, too. We find out right now that 52.1%, here it is, kids in household getting means-tested government assistance, over 52% of them, children 18 years of age and younger, are getting some kind of government assistance. Millie, 18 years and under. 52.1% are getting assistance in Medicaid, public housing, SNAP, all kinds of school lunch programs are getting government dues. Why should they work? They don't need to.
The problem that we have is that we're going into the break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. 4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on shortwave radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Ladies and gentlemen, you got the deal of the century. It really is a no-brainer. I mean, we've been selling gold for almost 25 years, and it was always because of fiat currency. It was always because you're losing purchasing power on a daily basis because your dollar's getting worse. Is losing value day after day after day. When you look at the rates that they pay in the bank against inflation and so forth, you're losing. The banks aren't going to pay you enough. They're not going to pay you enough interest to offset what everything costs. And gold is a hedge against that. Gold is a hedge against many things. You can talk about geopolitical risk like Greg Hunter did the other day. You can talk about inflation, but gold is money. If you're holding paper dollars, that's all you have is a promise, and those are and I promise you, it's going to lose value
every day,
every single day. This is the deal of the century, and we don't know when things are going to come apart. But ladies and gentlemen, this just can't keep going like this. I mean, there is no quiet time. Pick a topic. Anything, whether it's government, finance, whatever. There is no peace anywhere. You know, it's the proverbial anthill being stirred up, and ants are going everywhere, or the bee's nest, or whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's just truly amazing. And the markets are going to keep going happy, but it's going to change. When? I don't know. But it can't be too far away. 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
But you know, we're talking about the children before the break. Over 50% of them are getting some kind of government assistance, and at home children, in household, even living at home. You mentioned 70% of the people want Medicare for everyone. And Trump said they're going to come up with what they're going to do with Obamacare, come up with their own plan. So they're switching the socialist idea for another socialist idea. You see, Melody, it can't change. People in this country as a whole have become too used to the idea of government handouts and benefits. And that's a problem. Children today, 51% are on some kind of government aid already. Why are they going to change your mind when they turn 2021? Are they all of a sudden going to say, well, this is wrong, we're going to drop all this, we're not going to apply for any more help? That hasn't happened. Ever since Roosevelt started this back in the 1930s, and benefits started flowing in from government, people want more, and they want more, and they want more. And they vote for the ones who promise more. But I know Trump got elected, promising in Obamacare. He found out he couldn't do that. So he's going to give something in place of it. is, I mean, what have we gained if all he does is if we just trade horses going down the same river? What do we gain on that?
I don't know. So it'll be interesting to see exactly. And you know, this with what's happening, and the cable news, I saw a number hundreds of times a day. It talks impeachment. They haven't even come in out and said anything about what he's done yet.
No. But Trump did say that if he's impeached, he said, "I think the market will crash." You know, I think he's right.
Of course it's going to crash. It's going to crash anyway. My question is he going to instigate it?
That's a good question.
I think he knows he's got the power. He's got the power. And he's got the power to crash that market. Everybody knows it. I mean, that's why it's going up. Everybody knows the control that the White House has with Wall Street. It isn't any different with this administration. You know,
no,
that's their barometer.
Well, he's already spent 21% more in debt than anybody before him in this first part of this his administration. 21% further in debt. We're talking about billions and billions of dollars here. And he's put us more in debt for a lot of reasons, but the banks are happy. The banks hit a record $60 billion in profits. I got to read this because this is really something else. The happy days on Wall Street have never been happier. According to the latest quarterly FDIC report released on Thursday, banks reported an aggregate net income of $60.2 billion in the second quarter of 2018, up $12.1 billion. Melody, that's 25% from a year ago. Did you get a 25% pay increase since last year? Just curious.
Do I need to tell?
No, that's right. You got 50%. I'm sorry. Anyway, only 3.8% of institutions were unprofitable during the quarter, down from 4.3% in 2017. The improvement in earnings was mostly attributable to higher net interest income and a lower effective tax rate, which contributed more than $6 billion to the bottom line. Now, again, I'm all for tax breaks. Believe me, I had no problem with that. I really had no problem with that. But I see very little benefit for you and I, and we'll say the common man. I really don't see much benefit in it. Maybe if people say, well, it's going to trickle down to us, I wish it'd hurry up. I haven't seen it. But the banks hit a record $60 billion in the second quarter. That's so far above my imagination that I can't, you know, that's unbelievable. So the banks are doing quite well. And I assume for a while the banks will be hitting some of the hard spots. People can't pay their bills or, you know, loans are being defaulted. But I guess I was wrong. It hasn't happened.
Well, I'm not even so sure it was just the tax cuts and the higher interest, but they've taken off all those regulations off the banks. So now they've been able to create a lot of other programs and so forth and rearrange their books and so forth. So there's no longer the same type of controls they had after the Great Recession. So I'll guarantee you derivatives are higher. I'll guarantee you all the programs that banks likes to do because they're going to take. Until it collapses, and they're the only ones who ever benefit because they rape everybody before it collapses. And so is this a good sign that, oh, people might say, well, yeah, they're strong, they're not going to go out of business? Well, you know what? People need to start thinking about themselves. You know, the banks are going to put you out of business, and I'll guarantee you when you're having a difficult time and you can't pay your loans, they did it during the Great Recession of 2008. They were out there trying to pull loans.
They were trying to pull loans. They were.
I know
they
two
were.
People. Yeah, I know two businesses that were down here where the banks tried to get rid of them. So.
And stop and think, too, that when the banks had a hard time, who bailed them out?
That's right. You and me.
We did. We did. And they're talking about doing it again if they need it. I mean, you know, they're making $60 billion, you know, more than normal, I mean, in one quarter. But what's that? You know, I mean, they might need bailed out. And they'll come to the American public to do it again. They keep fleecing us and stealing from us in every manner of way possible. And American people keep on going down the road, going to work every day like good little sheeple, not saying much about it, feeling sorry for the illegals coming in because they lose their children. media cries about that, and everybody comes to crying about it. They want to impeach. They call impeachment. They want that. And now the Christian church talk about going to war. We got to go to war with Iran. We got to stop Iran. We have never learned, and we're not going to learn. I'm afraid to say that. I hate to say that, but I'm afraid we're never going to learn that. Learn it till it's too late. We are in a mess. And now Russia just purchased 800,000 ounces of gold, and they're dumping U.S. treasuries. I mean, what does that tell us? I mean,
they're
what do they trust
in? Smarter than we are, or they're smarter
exactly.
than the average guy. Yeah.
I mean, the gold is down now where people maybe can afford a bit of it, the silver especially, and they're not buying it. Why are they not buying it? Are they still trusting in their fiat currencies, in their 401ks and IRAs? Are they still trusting in the paper? Whenever Russia is showing us that they bought 800,000 ounces of gold, even $1,100 an ounce, that's a lot of money, is it not?
Yes, it is.
And dumping the U.S. treasuries. They know America's coming down, but the people in America don't see it. The whole world's watching America crumble, but no one else, but we can't see it. There's something wrong with America's eyesight when it comes to believing the truth about America. I know it's hard, Melody. I was born and raised in this country. I mean, I was reared in this country, and I wore the uniform of the Air Force, and I didn't shame it. I came out as a sergeant of the Air Force, and I didn't shame the uniform. And I used to think, man, I live in the greatest place in the world. But when I started uncovering the truth about what we've done, in not just in the last 50 years, in the last couple hundred, in the last 100 years, I was disgusted with what I've seen. And American people still believe we're the best in the world. So I would say, I mean, it just breaks my heart. I have friends who died in an unjust war, we'll call it, in Vietnam, and I mean, since then died, and I watched them pull out of Vietnam and dump all over to the North Vietnamese, and 60,000 people died there, and some of them I went to school with. One of them was engaged to one of my good friends in school, a girlfriend, but not a girlfriend in the way that everybody puts it to me, but a good friend. I'll never forget the day her mommy called me, Melody. I was at home. I was 19 years old. I was getting ready to go to the military myself. I was 18, 19 years old. And her mommy called me and said, Becky's, or Bill was killed in Nam today. Becky's got notice that he was killed. And she said, "Would you come down and talk to Becky?" I got out of the car, Melody. Now here I'm an 18, 19-year-old kid. What do I know? Get out of the car, and she's standing on the steps there in the porch. Very pretty girl, long strawberry blonde hair. And she had tears in her eyes. What do I say about her fiancé just being killed? How do I handle that? All I can do is hug and let her cry on my shoulder. Now, I think about that and find out that he died for nothing. And God bless America. See, you got me started again. But anyway, that's kind of memories come back to me about this guy. That comes back to my mind a lot. That's just one instance, but there are others.
Well, you know what you were saying about how the people here just don't understand what's going on. And I mentioned this earlier in the program this week that I have a client. He lives in Hawaii, but he was in China. He called me from China on Friday, and we were talking, and, you know, he wanted to know what was going on in the news and so forth. And it's like, I said, "Well, that's right." I says, "You're in China." He says, "Melody," he says, "you guys have, people in America have no idea how lucky they have it. Where information, you can have information at your fingertips in seconds. Anything you want to know, basically you can have any information you need to know, want to know, is at your fingertips. You can have it within seconds." He says, "Here in China, it takes weeks to find that same information out." So isn't it interesting?
Yes.
Though, isn't it interesting that some of those countries where it takes weeks to get the information, they're probably more astute to what's going on in their country than what we are when we have access, because people are just so distracted. They follow something, and there's no thinking. They're just led by the nose down certain paths and so forth.
Anybody can go online and type in how were the wars in this nation ever since the beginning of this nation? What caused the wars behind the scenes? They're going to find things that they did not learn in history books. They're not talking about today. The truth is out there. Like you said, it's available. Just go online and look it up, or go to the library and look it up. It's available. But people won't take time to do it. And if they do it, they'd really believe whatever they're told by the mainstream news media. They don't want to read the fact that the Gulf of Tonkin can never happen in Nam. That's all made up. They don't believe that Israel bombed the USS Liberty. They don't believe that. They don't want to believe this. They don't want to hear the truth. And we find out that 89% of our elected officials in Congress are dual citizens with Israel. But that no one cares. But they don't want to believe it. This is what we have. More is our guilt for not taking advantage of what we have in the way of learning these things. We're more accountable than those who can't find out, if you know what I'm saying. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is due. So we're accountable, more accountable, because we just don't take any time paying attention to it. Any more comments?
No.
You know, so we go on for there for a long time. But some good news, I guess. Texas exports more oil than it imports for the first time ever. That's good, right?
It can be, yes.
Yeah. The Texas Gulf Coast Oil Terminal said it brought more crude oil than they received in April, the Energy Information Administration said this week. So we had actually exported more of Texas than we imported in Texas. That could be good. That could be good. I don't know what it's going to lead to, but it could be good, and I hope it is good. Energy independence will make a big difference for a nation. It truly could. Whether it's going to happen or not, I don't know. I know we can do it. I know the oil reserves are here in Alaska. We have more than enough oil on the ground to do that. And there's no shortage of oil anyway. That's all a facade. But nonetheless, we could be energy independent. And we'll see. I don't know.
But well, you know,
some good news.
Well, I was reading about that, and that's the Permian Basin where they're
right.
Doing a lot of fracking, and that's
right.
Allowing them to. They're taking advantage of that. However, perhaps Texas is exporting more than they're importing. But I was also reading where the United States, most likely, because you can't refine it, we're still going to have to import and be dependent to some degree on a lot of foreign oil. So the statements were, it's great that Texas is doing that. They don't have the ports in order to have, the ports aren't big enough, aren't wide enough, the water isn't deep enough in order to support the tankers that have to travel overseas. From what I was reading, there was only like one port in Louisiana that basically had that capability. And I thought some of your East Coast ports would, but maybe in close territory to Texas or so forth was the relationship of that. But they said it's highly unlikely that the U.S. will export more than import as a country.
Mm. Yeah, that, but I don't know. I don't know. It's way above my head. I would think a nation that could figure out what we figured out could figure out a way to get that oil offshore somehow.
But the thing of it is, it's our refinery capabilities. I mean, when is the last time we've built new refineries?
And
you have to have, the refineries are based on a certain type of oil, and that type of oil is what comes from the Middle East oils and so forth. And so they need to start building some refineries. And we all know who owns the biggest refinery in the country, and that's the Saudis. So, yep.
Well, we do know that they've shut down the production mills, steel mills, refineries, coal processing plants over the last several years have been hit hard. Now, maybe perhaps some are reopening. I know that they're talking about that. We will see.
And we're heading into a break right now. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul, and we'll be right back right after these few short messages.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold
gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're in the third segment of the program today. Thank you for joining us. 1-800-375-4188. Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And, of course, make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And these programs are archived on a long-term basis. And you can listen live also. Just go to the radio page. There's a little gray bar. Just click on it, and voila. Technology is grand, right, Pastor Fudge?
When it works, it is. When it works, it really is.
When it works, it is. It is. And
Question to ask you. Sears is closing 46 more stores. Okay.
Yes.
That's what it says. And so they're continuing to evaluate their network of stores, which is a critical component to our integrated retail transformation. We'll make further adjustments as needed. Liquidation sales of 33 Sears stores and 13 K-Mart stores are expected to begin next week. Now, maybe this is like a stupid question, but are the sales down that low that they have to shut these stores, or are they trying to just make more profit? What's going on here? I mean, Sears has shut down a lot of stores, closed them completely out, and now there's 46 more stores going under in November. Does that mean that they're losing sales to online, or are they just trying to trim down to keep more profits? I'm just curious how that's what that really talks about.
Well, it's probably a combination of both. You know, if they can't compete online and no one is going into their stores, and, you know, their leases are coming up on certain on these stores and so forth. And I've even read where they're trying to break leases on a lot of their retail stores that are in malls and so forth. But, I mean, they're not doing anything to save it. As far as I'm concerned, it's just easier to cut it than to, you know, spend the money. And, again, they don't have the money. They're in debt. Same thing as this country. How can we fix what we've got when we're so far in debt? We don't have the money. You need the money. You just can't keep going deeper in debt because it's going to come back and it's going to bite them.
Well, then that's easy. Just raise taxes.
Just raise
taxes.
Because they have competition now.
Yep.
With online, they couldn't compete. We have competition with China and the rest of Asia. It's just not China. It's the rest of Asia. And we can't compete.
Sears can't raise prices. They hurt themselves, but the government can raise taxes.
But there's no quality in anything anymore, and I'm right back to that. You know, perhaps, you know, but they can't afford to get the quality in there to bring people in. They can't gussy up the stores. Have you been into a Sears stores lately?
No, I haven't. I really haven't.
It's why would you want to go in there? I'd sooner buy online. And that's a lot of the problem. You know, they're not doing anything. They're not upgrading. Even when Walmart upgraded a lot of their stores, you know, years past and so forth. And you have to make it attractive for people to come in. You have to want people to come there. And Lowe's, and, you know, we hear about how great it is. Lowe's is slimming down. You talk about competition. They're slimming down to better compete with Home Depot. The company, and it's interesting because this is what I said. Here Lowe's hired Marvin Ellison. He was the CEO of JCPenney. Well, JCPenney's doing so well. Why would Lowe's want to hire the same CEO when JCPenney is about ready to go belly up too? But they did, and now they're shutting down its Orchard Supply hardware stores, and they're planning to slash inventory at its Lowe's stores. The home improvement retailer did report earnings that topped forecasts on Wednesday, thanks to a healthy housing market. Six shares surged more than 7% in early trading, but Lowe's cut its sales and profit outlook for the year. So my question is, if you're really having a hot and you're beating expectations thanks to a healthy housing market, why would you have to cut sales and profit for the year? I mean, it doesn't even... You know, it just doesn't really even make sense. The retailer is playing catch up to industry leader Home Depot. And of course, last week they reported some pretty strong results. Sales at Lowe's stores open at least 1 year rose 5.3% in the second quarter, but Home Depot sales were up more than 8%. So, again, you have a company. The Orchard Supply Hardware has about 4,300 employees. It doesn't say they have 99 Orchard Supply Hardware stores that Lowe's owns in California, Oregon, and Florida, as well a distribution center that's going to be shut down by the end of the fiscal year. So there's 99 stores.
And Lowe's is Lowe's has been around how many years? I mean, I think done quite well overall. I know the prices keep going up every time I go over there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, sure. I mean, but they can't compete with Home Depot. I prefer Lowe's over Home Depot, and I'm sure some people prefer Home Depot over Lowe's. But, again, it's a personal preference, but they're not competing for whatever reason. I know it seems like Home Depot really got into a lot of the building, you know, for contractors and so forth. I think Lowe's did, too. So I don't know what the... You know, why they fear that they are going to have a bad rest of the year.
I don't know. I know there are no Home Depots in my area. We have a Lowe's locally, nothing here at Home Depot. But a question also to ask you on a different front says that U.S. Foreclosures rise for the first time in 36 months. Why do you think all of a sudden this went up? I mean, why the rise in foreclosures? What do you think caused that? I mean, there's money. People. I mean, if things are getting better, why are they foreclosing more homes?
Well, I really don't know how. You know, I haven't seen that article. I mean, as far as you know, where the delinquencies are and so forth, and you know. But hey, they lowered the credit numbers. You know, they adapted new reporting for credit, makes it easier for people to get loans, which means it's subprime, and that's what they're doing. They're adjusting everything so people can go back into debt. They get over their heads. Doesn't it only take a little emergency, a medical emergency?
That's true.
When people don't have more than $1,000 in the bank to pay for an emergency, it doesn't take much for you to start getting behind.
You know, and we can. A lot of people are not to blame. They truly are trying to be conservative and trying to keep the bills paid.
Sure.
Still falling behind, but lots of people will spend every penny they have coming in trying to move up, as you say, in their lifestyle for automobiles or homes, whatever. I just recently traded in a little Suzuki for a 2013 Ford. I just went 1 year up. 1 year up. All I can afford. Used car prices are went out of sight. I mean, literally and truly, the used car prices have hit record highs. But I had to have a new car. The Suzuki's starting to get pretty wore out. So I went a new car in 2013. It's 5 years old already. And it's well used. But it's in pretty good condition. So I got a very good deal when I took it. But so I'm not buying above my means if at all possible. But you still got a payment to make. And if something should happen that my earnings drop, it's still going to hurt. But some people go, well, I don't know how they do it. We'll spend $45,000 for a new pickup truck. How in the world do you make those payments? Even over 6 or 7 years, you're talking about $1,000 a month. How do they do that? Why do they do that?
Why? Now, that's the big question. Why? Why do they do that? And, well, you know, it's all... You know, it's all propaganda. It's all, you know, with TV, media, everything else. And they're certainly being enticed to do so. And
well, you know, they put advertisement on TV. You know, brand new Dodge pickup for, I don't know, $300 a month. They say, I don't know how to do that even. It's got to be some kind of ripoff or $400. But I don't know how to do it. With the price of trucks, I've priced them. I like trucks. I have a Chevy Silverado. It's got 108,000 miles on it. It's 2010. I can't afford a new one. Nice truck, though. I like it. I understand why you like to have a new truck. I like to have a new truck. But I can't see going in debt for 7 or 8 years or whatever and spending that kind of money, Melody. I can't justify that. Even if I had the money, I couldn't justify that.
It is a lot anymore. It really is. So how high are the prices going to go until people no longer buy them? And that's why you're seeing these. That's why you're seeing people go into used cars because they can't afford these new ones. So you'll see the prices on the, you know, used cars begin to rise, and then you're going to have the new car. The dealerships and the manufacturers are going to start coming out with zero rate financing and all kinds of bells and whistles in order to get you to buy, you know, a new one over an old one. Not an old one, but a used one. And you know, it's just a cycle, I guess. But
it is a cycle. But you know, on the other end of the spectrum, I mean, as messed up we are, I guess economically and materially, we're still better off in a lot of countries. Now, Venezuela has had another low. How much lower can they go? I don't know. But it says, in a city once called the Saudi Arabia of Venezuela for its vast oil wealth, residents of Maracaibo now line up to buy spoiled meat. Refrigerators fail amid 9 months of rolling power outages, and they recently got worse. Some people fall ill eating the rotten beef. But at bargain prices, it's the only way they can afford protein as the country's crisis hits bottom. It smells a little foul, but you rinse it with a little vinegar and lemon, said Ulysses Luna, a father of three young boys buying darkened cuts at a butcher shop in Venezuela's second largest city. Melody, that's really sad and sick, but the people are still there. I know there's many trying to leave the country. I realize that. A lot of them can't. But overall, they're still fairly quiet. We don't see much in the way of a, we'll say, a revolution there or a civil war. There's some unrest, but not nearly as much as you would think when you start buying spoiled meat to feed your children. Wouldn't that make you think a little bit? I mean, what's going to take these people to decide there's something wrong with their leader? And they say, of course, somebody attempted to take them out. Maybe so. But the people are still having to buy spoiled meat in order to feed their children some protein and take a chance to actually kill them, perhaps, I guess, with that protein. Could that happen here? Of course it could happen here, people. As we go more socialist, Venezuela was socialist. They were prospering just 10, 15 years ago. They were booming under socialism. Everybody had free this and free that. It's no longer free, and they don't have much to buy anyway. Melda, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, you said there's some unrest, not a lot, but when you're in dire straits, I don't think you have the energy in order. And these people are used to living under that type of a government. They never were free, and if you stand up, you get shot and killed. So
that's coming our way too. You know that.
It's coming our way too. It certainly is.
And on top of something else, before we run out of time, I got to get this covered. Over the last 7 days, our planet has been violently shaken by 144 major earthquakes. Matthew 24 covers this so clearly in the scriptures. And then last days, you know, there'll be earthquakes in different places all over the world. I mean, Venezuela was hit with a 7.3 earthquake. Okay, and also hit Fiji, and it's just going on all over the world, especially in what they call the Ring of Fire triangle.
Ring of Fire.
Yes, but 7.3 earthquake is a big hit. It really is. In the last 7 days, 144 major earthquakes alone. Now, that's I didn't hear that on the news. Did you?
No, that's not something they're going to report. You know, hey, what do you want to report? earthquakes, 144, or impeachment of Trump. You know what these cable networks are going to choose. So
we don't want real news. Give us something that keeps entertained. But they said they're happening so fast now that they're having a hard time keeping up with them and reporting them. 144 in 7 days. No matter what the reason is, the Bible says it's going to happen. People say, well, people are doing it to themselves. That may be. God never said people wouldn't be judgment on themselves. But it's happening. As we speak, 144 in 7 days, major earthquake. 7.3 is, like I said, a huge earthquake. And they're expecting one even bigger any day now. And that includes the west coast of this country, Oregon, California. That includes, well, I'm sure if it hits out there, it's going to spread all over the nation eventually. They're talking about one happening up through the midsection, middle part of the country, up through Missouri and up that way. And it could happen any day. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not a prophet. But 144 major earthquakes in 7 days is prophecy being fulfilled right now in our time, LD. It truly is. It's happening. It's really happening.
Well, we also have a major hurricane barreling down on Hawaii.
Yes.
I'm not sure if it's going to take a direct hit. Last time I saw, they're just going to get about, they're expecting over 30 inches of rain as possible in parts of Hawaii through Saturday as a slow moving hurricane. And, you know, we'll see what happens. We have lots of listeners to the program in Hawaii, so I hope they're all safe. They take coverage. I guess it's now a Category 4, so I guess it did weaken a little bit, and it's just over 200 miles south of the Big Island. So,
Hawaii's been hammered here lately, has it not?
Yes, it has. Yes, it has with their volcanic eruption and on the Big Island also. So be safe, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who are in Hawaii, and don't take chances, risks, and be safe. But yeah, things are changing, and
they are changing worldwide.
And we see it in people, the way people react, the way the, you know, the anger, the hatred, the, you know, it's frightening.
It is frightening. So, but praise God, God's still on the throne.
Absolutely, amen. And until then, thank you for joining me today. And I missed you on Tuesday. Glad you're back, and we'll be back on Tuesday.
See you next week.
I'll be here tomorrow. James Corbett, our interview will be tomorrow. So until then, be safe. Good night. Night and God bless. That's too bad.